And now smile when you say that. What's in a simple smile that can't be matched by the angry grimaces and faces of pain these days in the headlines? A moment now to celebrate and explore what's behind a smile. Mona Lisa's, Cary Grant's, yours. Don't it make you smile? Don't it make you smile? Joining us now with her own pearl of a smile is Marianne LaFrance, a social psychology professor who studies the effects of subtle communication. Her new book is called Lip Service: Smiles in Life, Death, Trust, Lies, Work, Memory, Sex, and Politics. She joins us from her home in Connecticut. Marianne, good morning.
Good morning.
So the smile is not merely an accessory. It's a communication tool.
It is a core communication tool. In fact, it's probably the expression that is the most underestimated because it appears to be so innocuous, so simple.
And, you know, did you explore the muscles that produce the smile and how sophisticated they are and how, you know, at a very young age we start to work those?
Yes. Well, babies have been observed to smile, in fact, even in the womb. And in terms of muscles, the face actually is an enormous array of muscles which can occur in various and sundry combinations. So what we regard as the so-called smile, the upward turns of the corners of the mouth, can sometimes go also with a muscle that encircles the eyes, which is actually that combination is the genuine smile, but it can also co-occur with anger, with fear, with disgust, with stress, with anxiety.
You know, one of the things that you explore in this book is something I observe at my home. I've got five kids, a one-year-old who smiles all the time. My son, who's 10, is not as good a smiler as his three sisters. Why are girls better smilers?
Well, the interesting thing that you use the word as good as smile. It is clear that we have our culture, many cultures have rules that suggest very strongly by training and socialization that girls and women should smile significantly more than boys and men. And you mentioned that your son is 10. By 10, he's gotten all the rules that say not only should big boys not cry, they probably shouldn't smile very much either.
So even Mr. Sensitive Public Radio host Dad can't countervail those messages in our society.
They come from everywhere. We see them in movies, in television, we read about them. We get chastised as little children if we smile too much or too little. So the messages are all around. It's not just with super sensitive dad that all those messages come.
And girls learn early to smile no matter what they're actually feeling.
Well, both boys and girls learn to use their faces. So boys learn not to smile, and girls learn to smile. And in fact, the smile is probably the most used as a mask, as a cover for all other kinds of feelings that we cannot or will not or should not show to anybody else.
Finally, before we go, are there geographic distinctions? Are there smiler nations?
There are substantial cultural and national differences. To wit, in this country, Southerners smile a good deal more than people from the Northeast. Americans smile much more than people from Northern Europe. Various and sundry regional differences go with not only how much we smile, but the actual form that the smile takes.
All right, Marianne LaFrance, professor of social psychology and author of Lip Service: Smiles in Life, Death, Trust, Lies, Work, Memory, Sex, and Politics. Oh, and by the way, don't expect a lot of smiles from Finland. Thank you, Marianne.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.